The blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita iridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness, and emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. with this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts, the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts, not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi tatiyampi sabaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness.
We are here to end suffering.
If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
Folks who are new to practice, there are bath jacks on the sideline if you'd like to grab one of those. And in fact, if you want to come up, you can take a place along the edge of the room. There are lots of spaces where you can fill in there. And maybe, Alex, you could show, you could just move a cushion off of one of the zabutons. So next to you, Alex.
Okay.
Yeah, just. Can we look at this woman? Go ahead.
Well, I'm looking at living a life outside my comfort zone.
Uh-huh. Living a life outside your comfort zone.
Right. And there's just a lot of things going on right now that are way outside of my comfort zone.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just looking at that. And well, way outside of conditioning's comfort zone.
Mm-hmm. That's a good clarification. Yeah. You say more about that?
Well, I realize there's certain things that my heart calls me to do,
mm-hmm.
and conditioning will say that you can't do that,
mm-hmm.
or you know that's
mm-hmm.
you know that's are you crazy?
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna die, or mm-hmm. you know you're gonna make a mistake, or you're just gonna make a fool of yourself,
mm-hmm.
or
mm-hmm.
you know all those are supposedly good reasons to
right.
stay small.
Something really bad is gonna happen.
Something really awful is gonna happen mm-hmm. if you. Go outside of this narrow range of,
yeah.
of being.
So your heart is called to do something,
mm-hmm.
but then conditioning looks at that thing and says, no way, something bad's going to happen, because
right.
that's outside of what the quote comfort zone is.
Right. You know, and I can see, like, for many years, I mean, that was like 70 degrees, sunshine,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
it's just
right.
like, there's just, you know, a little variation
yeah.
in what this person thought she needed
yeah.
to be.
Very, very narrow.
Very narrow.
What's needed in order to be okay.
In order to be okay.
Uh-huh.
But what I've also noticed is that something keeps drawing her to
mm-hmm.
do things outside her comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all, and she doesn't stop doing it.
Right.
But what I'm seeing here is she thinks that there should be a cessation of these incredibly intense physical sensations that accompany doing something that's, you know,
mm-hmm.
beyond her comfort.
Mm-hmm.
And also that there should be a cessation of the conversation.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Uh-huh. So what you notice is, even though for a long time you realized there was this really narrow set of things, circumstances that had to be lined up in order for you to supposedly be okay,
mm-hmm.
there's a part of you who still keeps seeking things that pull you out of that.
Mm-hmm.
For example, completely relinquishing control to a voluntary, right? So you'll have no say
yeah.
over really what the circumstances are, right?
Yeah.
And so you notice that. But at the same time, there's a belief that somehow the sensations that are brought up by doing that, by doing things that are outside the comfort zone, and the conversation that triggers, someone has a belief that that should stop.
Yeah, she thinks that if she should be able to live this really risky life and do these things, and it just is like bliss, mm-hmm. you know. Oh, that's easy.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. I'll jump out of the plane mm-hmm. and not have the accompanying.
Yeah. So it should be easy.
It shouldn't be
the sensations right. and the conversation that goes with that.
Right. So that's good to see that, just there.
It's good to see.
See that belief.
Yeah.
That this is the wrong experience.
Yes.
You know, if I was the right person, I'd be able to do all these things outside my comfort zone and be completely happy about
yes.
that.
Yeah. And in other words, it sounds like what you're saying that you're seeing is the whole thing is conditionings.
Yeah.
The quote comfort zone, the definition of what that is, all the sensations yeah. that get kicked up mm-hmm. by it, the beliefs, the conversation, that's all the world of conditioning.
The world of conditioning. Mm-hmm. And boy, those sensations when they're happening, they're just yeah. so believable.
Yeah.
Like, I gotta stop these.
Yeah.
You know, this mm-hmm. is, I must be doing something wrong, yeah. or I wouldn't have, you know.
Yeah.
When we were talking the other night about, volcanoes or eruption, you know, it would not feel like my entire inside was in a volcanic
yes.
eruption.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
Yeah.
And yet it's so interesting, isn't it? Because those are the very places that call us to the greatest places of practice mm. that require so yes. much of us to
yeah.
to care for that, to be there for that person who's having such an intense experience.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, yeah, I was having a little talk with a mentor this morning, you know, and she was saying, well, let's make this a day of kindness, you know, and it really does call that
yeah.
forth.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yes, we do not want to be really, really
yeah.
kind to this person
yeah.
that is just, you know.
Yeah. 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 And who would not want to be really, really kind to that person? And it's going to, I project, require you to never take your eye off that ball, off
mm-hmm.
that kindness
mm-hmm.
ball. Because the minute you do, in those, you know, when things are kind of going okay and you're in that sort of 70-degree zone,
right.
then, well, you know, no big consequences yeah. to losing consciousness and not really being here,
yeah.
right? Until, of course, it pulls us down the road somewhere.
Yeah.
But when there's that intensity of something
mm-hmm.
going on, it's immediate that when you're not here with that person in this present moment where everything is okay, you're going to feel that sensation again, I imagine, very, very quickly. And so it calls us to that kindness moment by moment by moment
yeah.
by moment.
Right. It sure does bring me to that place again, where, you know, practicing like my hair's on fire because
yeah.
I, yeah.
You have to.
Yeah. And like most things in my life, unless I have to,
yeah.
you know, I'm
yeah.
not
yeah.
inclined to do that. So.
Yeah. Well, because, you know, what I just saw when you said that is our hair is on fire all the time.
Yeah.
It's just that we don't always see that. You know, it's that image we talk about of children playing in a burning building
yeah.
and not realizing it. And the gift of having something in your life that's mirroring that for you,
mm-hmm.
because often we can't see it, and yet it's always there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're all headed for the moment of death
yeah.
all the time.
Yeah.
And so to have something like, in this case, moving out of your comfort zone,
mm-hmm.
things that are really calling you to these bigger places,
mm-hmm.
really put that, the ability to practice with that front and center in front of you.
Yeah. I think I keep hoping to get to that place where I hear like that you just get so fed up with it all, you just let it all go.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's
yeah.
like, can I just get to the let go place? You know, so
yeah.
I can just, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's what's up. Thanks.
Thank you.
So, I'm talking about outside your comfort zone. I'm just going to report on my commitment to keeping commitments
uh-huh.
to myself. It's being a two steps forward, one step back
mm.
process.
Mm.
And I also have the voice or the part of me who says it shouldn't be like that.
It shouldn't be the two steps right. forward, one step back.
Right. Uh-huh. And it is. Yeah.
And it's so interesting that you say that, isn't it? Yeah. In the face of, I mean, we practice with Sangha all the time, and boy, we just hear that over and over from each other. And somehow when it comes to ourselves, there can be this belief held in place that it shouldn't be that way.
Yeah, yeah. If I were the right person, if I were doing it correctly, mm-hmm. First of all, this would never have been an issue. the right kind of people who keep their commitments to themselves and do anything else they commit to. And so I'm clearly, to that particular piece of karma, I'm clearly not the right person. And that's just how it likes it. It like wants to keep me right there.
Yeah.
But
That's just a convenient belief system for it, because it keeps you involved in the conversation, which creates the suffering.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And just in the same thing that was just referred to, the one step back happens when the bodily sensations become so intense that I'm not able to stay present in the face of them yet. Mm-hmm. It's really a good thing that it's a practice.
Yes.
And I can just trust that with continued practice and continued willingness and continued paying attention, that muscle, so to speak, will get stronger.
Yeah. And that what I hear in that is a lack of judgment about the process.
From center, there's a lack of judgment. Yeah. Step anywhere outside of center, there's just nothing but.
Yeah. Again, back to that motivation to stay at center. Not because it makes you the right person, or you should, but because that's the place where you can see clearly. That's the place where the human is cared for. I mean, that's the place that's clarity. And then we step outside of that. I mean, it becomes a really good feedback system. So we can know when there is that judgment, when there is the, you know, whatever it is for each of us, and, oh, okay, I'm not here.
Yeah. When I'm suffering.
When I'm suffering, yeah.
I was looking at the comfort zone piece of this, too, and it's funny, as I was listening to it, the way it's been acting for me at this moment is that I am not getting terrified by anything. What it's doing is you're getting sleepy. So it's getting me into a comfort zone by convincing me that I am, I really don't want to. It's really fascinating, because it doesn't like, worry was a big way it would do that for me before. Like, like I gone through this phase where it was just like worry, you know. Like before I came to the monastery, I had this. I mean, actually, even way before the interest in any practice-related thing, too, was that I would get on a train to go to visit someone that I had been visiting when I was living in where I was living. And I would always get on the train, and I would think that I was on the wrong one every time. I did it over and over and over again. I did the same.
Even though you triple check the schedule and looked at the.
I would go to the length of asking someone, "Is this going to where I think it's going?" Uh-huh. They would say yes, and I'd be like, "Oh, good." Uh-huh. And that's the kind of thing that had been operating here for quite a while. Never really trusting that I was, you know, just whatever. It didn't matter anything. Like, did I put the thing over there? Did I not? And
a lack of trust leading to worry.
Leading to being woken up in the middle of the night about such and such. And it would worry about anything. It'd be, did that person think that about me? And then it would just play over and over with the you know, what I need to do because of that. Now, it's like the don't worry, be happy person is here, and it's like what it, the way it's working, I'm sorry, everyone's going to go up. start humming that. I found that the way it's working now is in the I don't feel like it, or I don't want to, I don't have to, and it's defining what's okay and what's the limit. And that's how the comfort zone is being maintained, is that if there's no stretch being made to go any further because
I don't want to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's not true that I don't want to,
right.
Of course. Mm-hmm. It can only bring that back up again as a result of me realizing that I'm not doing what it is that I want to.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you say you want to, blah, 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 but you're not doing it. And then it's just like this circle. Well, I don't want to.
Uh-huh.
So how can you reason with it, other than just to do? You know, like make commitments to do certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because the way this person operates is that. There's a vast world out there, and I want to participate in everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other side of the duality that goes to is like, well, I don't have to. I don't, you know, like there's no requirement to.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's almost an understanding about what's acceptable, and then just don't cross that line. Mm-hmm. Be like, unless it was a challenge, then like, you know, it's extra credit or something like that. Then I'm like, oh yeah, I want to do the extra credit. But unless someone external says this is extra credit, it's like, just do the assignment.
Mm.
Just do what you're required to do.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go any further. And over the time that I've been here, it's almost like there have been things that I have taken on and gone beyond that, kind of like, this is okay, and taking it on. And then it's like, it starts to get folded in, and I'm like, I don't know if this makes sense. So it's like, then that becomes the level that I work within.
Mm-hmm.
And then if something else is asked, then that becomes the level that I work. So it's almost like it's imposed externally.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm looking at is, how can I incorporate those things into my life that I say that I want to do, that would, you know, not really be a stretch, but it would be something that I want to do, and convince, you know, I'm just going to throw this language out, convince myself that it was my idea.
Uh-huh.
Do you know? Like these self-imposed kind of things. Because it's been easy over my life to have people say, hey, why don't you write a book? I'm like, oh, okay, I never thought of that, so I'll try it.
Uh-huh.
And start doing it and keep going, chug along, happy with it. Like, wow, I like that. That's great. Why don't you garden for a while? Oh, yeah, okay, well, I'll try that. That's pretty good. And then I'm looking at, how do I incorporate that into my life so that there's this stretching and pulling and growing bigger? That's because it occurs to me, and then those things are occurring to me, but then the conditioning would come in and say, why bother?
Mm.
You know, it's like, so what?
So I'm not sure I'm tracking, but so it sounds like over the course of your life, kind of things that stretch you are often suggested to you by external people.
Yes.
And so you find yourself, oh, that's kind of interesting, willing for that, doing that. And then it sounds like what you're saying is you're realizing that internally some of those things occur to you,
mm-hmm.
but they don't tend to be followed through on. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
And you're looking for ways to recognize that same process in you of, oh, we could try this, we could try that, and how to follow through on those.
You know what's funny as you're saying that? It just occurred to me that those things do come up. And the barrier that I need is, well, that's just for you. You're being selfish.
Uh-huh.
It's funny because if someone else suggests it, it's okay.
Uh-huh.
If I come up with it,
uh-huh.
then I'm actually like causing trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like oh, it's just going to be a distraction away from the important stuff.
Make it more work.
Make it more work for you. Make it more work for other people. Mm-hmm. It's always about other people, really. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like if it's making more work for other people, it's a really bad idea. Mm-hmm. If it's really low impact, like if it only affects you, like you staying up all night doing whatever it is, then you know. No one else knows.
Just as long as you don't get sick, then
exactly. As long as you don't get sick, no, it's okay. It's fine.
It's
that's really interesting that, that you, when you said that, it occurred to me that no, these things are coming up all the time. It's just that they're going nope, swatting them off to the side.
Yeah, and it's funny because in that, the way you describe it, it's like someone is. Taking it personally in the sense that this is your idea, this is my idea, and what if they were all just sort of things, you know, information that's floating around there in the universe, and some of them come through this brain, and some of them come through this brain, and it's all just, because what I'm hearing is a willingness for any of it, and that, great, if this is what we're doing, great, oh, and here's this one that came through, and here's, and some of them come through this person, and some of them come through that person, and there's just can be this giant willingness for any of it.
That's
and
right.
It's not my idea or your idea or
right. Yeah. Yeah. The and they that's how they do show up. I mean, I mean, it's how they show up initially, and then you know how we talk about conditioning just gets a hold of it and does what it does with it. It starts throwing in the story over here about that, and then this little bit over about that, and pretty soon. You know, I've just killed some. It's the equivalent of I just killed somebody, and I can't do anything with this because it's like it's tainted with this story of blah blah blah, of years and years of. So wait a minute, it's just an idea. I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Leave me alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how often that whole thing can play out internally without anyone ever knowing about it. So the whole thing, you end up
often.
You end up with a metaphorical dead body before you even said a word outside yourself about this idea.
And then so like I'm there ready to present the idea.
Yeah.
You know, that would be the where the quivering and the shaking would come in, you know.
Yeah.
I guess that's where the fear would be.
Okay.
The fear of actually saying anything.
I killed someone, can I?
can I do it? Oops. No. Well, anyway, because that's how it always and when it comes out through that.
Mm-hmm.
Those layers and layers and layers that were piled upon it, where the initial idea is just, hey, how about we? And then everybody's like, yeah, but after having that thing play on through, it just turns into this thing that, like, well, no. It presents itself through that lens.
Yeah, it gets pushed through that filter.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah,
it pushed through that filter.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's good.
Right.
I was reminded by that of a Korean Zen master whose name I could never remember. Gave a lecture that I read at one point, just talking about how important it is to have little extra practices that you just do for yourself.
Mm.
It's not imposed from the outside. It's just, you know, something to push the boundaries, to let you give yourself a little space to grow.
Mm.
I found that kind of really, really kind of helpful as just a motivating factor. Like, okay, well then I'm going to sit for 10 minutes at night, every night before I go to bed, you know, just a little something like that.
Not anything someone's requiring of me or asking me to do or just something to,
Just something to do kind of for the love of it.
Yeah.
That is part of practice.
Yeah.
I had something come through a little earlier about worrying, and just kind of seeing that it's really this kind of double game where the germ, the seed of worry, is the realization of inattention.
Mm.
So coming to the awareness that you weren't aware at some previous point, because if you're there every single moment, there's never anything to worry about.
Oh.
You know, it's when you're sitting on the train and realizing, Oh God, I didn't look at the sign when I got on.
Yeah.
Which, I used to ride the BART a lot, and that was my experience. Very frequently,
like,
oh God, I'm going to Fremont. This isn't where I need to be.
Yeah. That's so interesting, because if you are there in every moment, then the worry, not only can you trust yourself, because you know you looked at the sign and you can remember looking at the sign, but there's no chance for the worry to start to build, because mm-hmm. you're always there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's just the two angles kind of going on with it. Mm-hmm. And it reminds me of the old Zen story, and I can't remember any of the names. I'm apparently very bad at remembering names.
And, the rest of us are in trouble.
This fellow, you know, he studies under his master for 10 years and just isn't getting what he thinks he needs to get, so he goes on this pilgrimage and he's going from teacher to teacher to teacher, mm-hmm. and nobody's able to offer him what he needs, and he goes in finally to visit this one teacher and sits down, and the teacher just asks him, when you came in, did you put your slippers on the right or the left? And he doesn't know. And he realizes, whoa, you know, just has, and that it's that experience. It's the, oh, there's a gap in my memory where I was who knows where.
Yep.
And just having the willingness to keep being in the present moment, because then that can't happen.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And I don't know if this is a piece of what you're looking at with it, but it reminds me of what we were talking about a couple interactions ago, where if there can be, take on that project with just the, I really want to be here, not any judgment about, oh, I wasn't here, but, oh, look at that, there was a gap, I wonder where I was. Mm-hmm. It just, it begins to, because, of course, that conversation is going to create another gap, right? It's going to create more unconsciousness, but that willingness to have that, seeing that, have that be more motivation to, boy, I really want to be here. I really want to string these moments together and be here all the time.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of just the notion of having a party every time you come back.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, just like, oh, wow, I really wasn't present at some point. I'm glad I'm present now.
Exactly. Thank you.
Know, I'm glad I'm here to be aware of that so that I can be here instead of going off again into unconsciousness about the fact that I was unconscious.
Yes, yeah, exactly. I love practicing that with a mentor, mm-hmm. of just thanking the mentor every time I come back. You know, well, let me think about it. I wonder if I do. Oh, thank you. Thank you. You know. Yeah. Amy.
I'm looking at going outside my comfort zone, and I have a big it feels like karma or a big lifelong issue with fear of making a fool of myself, mm-hmm. or humiliating myself, or doing the wrong thing, saying the wrong thing, just anything that that's going to what it does is it the tendency is to keep me in a very small place, mm-hmm. I've been looking at I was reminded recently of this quote that Sherry read to us during a retreat last year, and I don't remember the whole thing, I just remember it starts, I must learn to love the fool in me. Mm-hmm. And I've been reminded of that quote recently, and I'm really practicing with that. With having acceptance for the person who has that experience.
Mm-hmm. That experience of being trapped in that tiny little place?
Or the experience of that, and of stepping outside of it and having the experience of being embarrassed or feeling foolish.
So she's willing to risk it, mm-hmm. step outside of that, and then something happens that conditioning interprets as, now I'm embarrassed, or this mm-hmm. thing happened, I'm humiliated.
And just working with making that a safe place.
Yeah.
And I was reminded of also in what was just talked about realizing there was a gap of unconsciousness and then coming back, and that's a place of where embarrassment or feeling foolish or could really be there. And just instead sort of having an attitude of mind of like, wow, that was a good one. Like, like you really got me with that one.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And not having it be recognizing like what I'm up against.
Yeah.
Sort of like, mm-hmm. like that was impressive.
So instead of taking it so seriously, like, oh no, I was unconscious and what happened, and did I make a fool? I can't believe I did that. But it sounds like there can be a lightness to it. Like, oh, good move. Oh, that really worked.
You really got me unconscious on that.
Yeah.
It's funny, isn't it? Because in that, that's one of those judo moves, isn't it? Because you've stepped outside the game by doing that.
Yeah. And it's back to that place of learning to love the fool in me, and just that, what it's set up to be is that is just like tragic, like a devastating place to be. To and so there's just a fear and a trying to avoid that at all costs.
Yeah,
and then when it's when that becomes an acceptable place to be, then it takes the power away from it.
It really does, yeah. And it's amazing, isn't it? Because the seeing that you've been unconscious can only be seen from coming back to the present moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you come back to the present moment, you see that, and if conditioning in that place can train us to go to a place of shame, and I can't, you know, all those things that you're describing, then it's really got a coup, because it's essentially training us to not want to come back, because we come back to something very painful. But what you're doing is you're retraining. So you're coming back, you see that, and going to this kind of light place of, oh, good move, and really bringing a lot of compassion and kindness to this, quote, fool, from the quote, the person who experienced that. And then this becomes a place you really want to come back to. And so it builds the incentive to come back.
Thank you. Sort of along the lines of what was just said, but I saw something that felt really important in the beginning of our conversation today, because I've been looking at, this being is able to picture the way she would like to be in the world. You know, I noticed when doing the first of the 30 exercises in Sherry's newest book about imagining the life you want. And I imagine this person that is just easy in the world. You know, she can just, you know, whatever comes up, she's just ready for it, and she doesn't hesitate, and she's relaxed and, you know, easy with people. And this conditioned being is not that way. The conditioned being is always like, oh God, you know, watch out, or oh no, or just this turmoil, really. I mean, that's a great word for it. And so there's a part of me that just goes, you know, I don't understand why I can see how it could be and yet still be the way it is. You know, and what just occurred to me during the beginning of our conversation was that the place to begin being easy with whatever's going on is being easy with what's going on in this being's body.
Bingo. Because like, being easy leads to being easy.
Right. So, okay, so I don't want, so there's all this stuff going on in my body, all this worry and opinions and wants and not wants and liking and not liking, and, you know, if I could be easy with that.
Yeah, exactly. And it's funny, because from that place, there's no conflict between the fact that you can see, you can really picture this ease, this life of ease, And yet there's all this other stuff that goes on, because from that place it's very clear, well, right, because this is all conditioning.
Yeah.
This,
yeah.
Oh yeah. No, watch out, that's
yeah.
all conditioning.
Yeah.
And as far as we can tell, everyone's got that going on inside of them,
mm-hmm.
but it's not who you are.
Yeah.
And so in that place of being easy with that,
mm-hmm.
it's all very clear why it would be that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it just said just, I don't think that thought had ever occurred to me, that,
yeah.
that the place to be easy is just with what I've got.
Exactly. Yeah, and that is so conditioning's judo trick, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Is to get us to see the possibility and then work towards it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Instead of just be the possibility.
Right.
Yeah. With whatever we've got in front of us.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah.
If I want to be easy,
yeah.
then I'll be easy with whatever's
right.
here in this moment. But what it talks us into is,
mm-hmm.
well, let me get to easy by clearing up all this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Let me work really hard and try really, you know, tense up against
yeah.
and
move somewhere else.
somewhere else and change the circumstances of my life and so that I can be easy.
Yeah.
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 Thank you. Penny.
A couple things. One is I was thinking about that, what was just described, that response of saying to conditioning, well, that was a good one, you know? And what I saw in that is it's pulling back the curtain on the wizard.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's addressing the wizard as just the kind of little adversary it is and not the big horrible thing.
Right.
That was just helpful to see.
Right, because in that first response of, it's big and scary and powerful and
right.
it can really get me, and in the second one, it's not at all.
That's right.
I mean, yeah, it got me that time, but
yeah.
I mean, look at it, really.
Right.
Yeah.
I'll be back, you'll be back, but
yeah.
we're on the same plane here.
Yeah, and I just keep pulling that curtain back and
yeah.
realizing how little and not powerful you really are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing that I read this great quote last night, which, you know, it was one of those things where I read it and I felt this, oh, thank you. And it was someone quoting a Zen master from someplace who used the term beginningless habit energy.
Beginningless habit energy.
What he was saying was, we have these sort of moments of awakening, and then we're surprised at the beginningless habit energy that keeps us from staying there.
Uh-huh.
I just found that so helpful, because I can get into that, well, if I can see it, why can't I just go there? You know, if I've seen through this, why is it still happening? I can get very impatient. And it was just a reminder that not only in this lifetime, but God knows how long this energy has been operating. And I just have to work with it over time.
Yeah.
You know, it was just the most, I felt that sense of relaxation, like,
yeah.
oh, there's all the time in the world.
Yes.
And it's so a wonderful balance with practicing like your hair's on fire,
mm-hmm.
and being infinitely patient
with
what's going on, because what's going on is big. It's
yes.
this long-standing, and I can get confused that, you know, it's just this little moment of time or this
yeah.
just this little lifetime, and forget
right.
that you know, these kind of patterns go back God knows
yeah.
how long.
Yeah, this is really, really big.
It's really, really big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the two things do go together so nicely, don't they? Because in this moment, you know, I'm right here, I'm in the game, I've got my eye on the ball,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, it's big, it's been here a really, really long time,
mm-hmm.
and so, yeah.
And so the next moment, when I find myself wherever, and it's not surprising, you know,
right.
I don't have to be alarmed or surprised or disappointed, or
yeah.
I just need to come back.
Yes.
That was really helpful.
Yeah.
And sort of similarly, I was talking with my listening buddy about the sort of the problem of being in the world and not of it, you know,
mm-hmm.
being a participant in the world and not getting either sort of arrogant and triumphant or discouraged and despairing, and, you know, how does one negotiate that? And
mm-hmm.
and what I saw that was just so helpful, and it feels like it was just said, was the only way to be okay is just to become ever more kind,
mm-hmm.
and toward everyone,
yeah.
but the way I'm going to get there is to be ever more kind to this person who is stumbling and swinging between arrogance and despair. And, I mean, you know, that the only way there is through.
Yeah.
And so, as I as I make mistakes and swing back and forth and exhibit that old habit energy over and over and over, that opportunity exists to extend ever more kindness and acceptance of this being, and the result of that will be that I become more kind and accepting of everyone. And that's really the solution to what I am seeing that is difficult to see.
And what I hear in that as you're saying it is that's kind of the source. So we could have an idea of, gosh, I should really be more kind, or I should be however I think I'm supposed to be interacting with people in the world, and yet realizing that that's a byproduct of, if you will, of caring for being kind to this person.
Yep.
Because as you're kind to this person, the natural outgrowth of that
right.
is that that is the way you are. You are that in the world. That
right. Mm-hmm. And if I'm not that way toward me, then it becomes a project of conditioning.
Exactly.
For other people just yes. to torment me.
You have to become someone who is going to be that
yeah.
way,
yeah.
which firmly keeps that I in place who is going to do that, and that's the source of the suffering.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Did you know something?
What's come on for me in the conversation is, just what everybody's saying, just the importance of moving out of the comfort zone, and just the deep karmic habit of setting things in place to make sure I'm as comfortable as I can possibly be, and it gets harder to see as I go along, because you know I start to see through the really obvious things like
right.
it's got to be 68 degrees.
Right.
Like, okay, well I can see that's probably not center. Probably no perspective there.
And I have a lot of opportunity to challenge that.
Yeah. Well, poor in here. Yeah, I mean every 68 degrees, one week in the year. So yeah.
If you're standing in the shade under this one tree.
The harder place is inside.
Yes.
Because, of course, I'm setting up these structures inside that are invisible to me all the time, trying to keep myself as comfortable as possible.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just had an experience recently, again, all those, probably not all, or even close to all, but a lot of them anyway, are revealed to me. And
the places where internally you were setting up the comfort.
Yeah, and I'm just setting up me. I'm setting up, okay, here's who I am. I am nice and comfy in this little, tiny little place. Don't mess with me.
Yeah, and funny how the don't mess with you could be hidden, and maybe that's what you're saying, for so long until it begins to be revealed.
Yeah, and it takes the monastery, the privileged environment, the guide, the guidelines to force me to look at that, because on my own, this is what I did before I came here, and since I've gotten here too, as much as I've been able to, is to just get rid of anything that's going to interfere with those structures. Before I came here, people, places, and things, doesn't matter what it is, you're goners. If you are going to interfere with my ability to be me inside this little world that I've created.
Wow, that's intense. It's just like people are talking about, it's a box that's created, that it's so amazing because conditioning creates this box, puts us in it, and then gets us to work with it to keep it there, to keep us there.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what wars are all about in a larger context.
Yeah.
Don't mess with my ability to be comfortable in myself, in this identity I think is me.
It's amazing.
Yeah. And so a lot of these things got taken away, and now where I am is, I don't know actually know if I'm putting new comfort place, but I'm very comfortable right now. But it feels like a different kind of comfortable.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Yeah.
It will become obvious soon.
I've been looking at the same thing. Yeah.
But just feel really really grateful for that whole process, and I feel more connected with myself and my life than I have in a while. And not just, not my life, because that's really kind of inside, but just with life.
Yeah.
And I want to be challenged. I want to be forced to go beyond what I think of as myself. And I'm really open to guidance. It feels like in a way that I'm not at all when I'm in that little place. And so I'm just really grateful for staying the course and the what happens here, mm-hmm. where it all gets eventually, if there's any willingness at all, it'll get knocked around and peeled off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so in that place where conditioning wants to keep us, that's quote comfortable, it's comfortable. Mm-hmm. But actually, we're not mm-hmm. at all. I mean, people are describing it. You know, there's if there's any level of looking at all, there's, you know, whatever it is for each of us, there's anxiety or fear or, you know, something that's an indication that that's actually not a safe place to be mm-hmm. at all. Mm-hmm. And that, ironically, when that begins to be stripped away through, in this case, the, you know, practice, through the guidelines, through the guide, through the monastic environment, through practice, then what happens is the being actually can start to be comfortable. Mm-hmm. Because in that much larger place of, yes, I want this, aligning myself with life, it's ultimate safety mm-hmm. in a way.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it really is. And I, you know, I can look to my life and see how true that is before I came here. And then even while I'm here, when I get comfortable and, you know, I put those structures mm-hmm. up, it's not a happy place.
No.
And it's funny because it seems like it is when I'm in it. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, this is good. Mm-hmm. You know, this is what I want. But when I get out of it, I say, oh no, that's not what I want at all. Yeah. That's something way smaller than what's possible for me.
Yeah, it's so conditional. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. and in that conditional place, there's always something to be set that's set up that has to be maintained. And in that much larger place that you're talking about of, I want to see everything that's there for me to see. There's nothing to be maintained. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that could happen. There's nothing. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's all for me. It's all. I'm aligned with life.
Mm-hmm. And then it's just always. That's always the way it is. And then in giving up what I want, mm-hmm. then I get everything that I want.
Yeah.
Even down to particulars.
Yeah.
Like I was looking this morning. I've got this sleep thing going on, which I won't describe, one thing that I want is time for me. Mm. Well, I've got a lot of time for me because I'm not sleeping. And it's funny how that works. From inside the little comfort zone, this is really uncomfortable. I don't like this. Uh-huh. But from outside, it's like, you know, there's something really cool happening here that I feel like is a gift mm-hmm. from something larger than me, just for me. But I have to get out of that little comfort area to be even able to see it. And of course, I can't receive it at all unless I can see it as a gift from life, and, you know, like that. There's stuff like that happening all over the place.
Mm-hmm. That's such a nice description of it, that it's like we talk about that thing of life constantly saying, here, how about this? Here's this. You know, here's this. And when we're in that place of trying to maintain comfort, we don't see any of it. And then from that larger perspective, to realize this thing that I've been approaching as a quote problem, you know, not getting sleep, is actually this gift that life is trying mm-hmm. to give me. Here's some time for you. Here's some time for you.
Just one more thing about that. This is, it's become really clear that that's how life is going all the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could name like my back. I've got this pain in my back. I said this the other day. It is showing me how to hold my body in the way that it needs to be held. It's teaching me how my body is put together. Mm. Everything is like that.
Yeah.
Everything that I don't like or I don't want or that's painful or difficult mm-hmm. is like saying, hey, there's, you know, heads up.
Right.
There's something here that really needs to pay attention to.
Yeah.
And sleep is like that too.
Yeah.
You know, I can list a whole bunch of things that feel like, from a conditioning point of view, feel like deprivations.
Yeah.
You know, I even like my body. I don't get to slouch. You know, I don't get to hold my body like I want to.
Right.
So, but they're all asking me to come to this, to become this person or this being or whatever who I could not have imagined before I started that process.
Yeah.
And which I would never get to. Mm-hmm. I will never get to if there's any resistance at all to that the input that's always coming mm-hmm. in.
Yeah, it's like it's calling you to consciousness everywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, so in that, gosh, I don't get to slouch, which is kind of the equivalent of physical unconsciousness. Mm-hmm. It's calling you to, it's requiring you to be conscious. Mm-hmm. And you know how sad it is when you said that, I just flashed through on how, I mean, for sure in our culture, and I think most others too, that we just go and try to take care of that symptom so I can stay unconscious there, you know, on an emotional, physical, spiritual, you know, kind of every level, whatever it, I'll just do this thing, buy something or take something or so that I can stay in that posture, not have to come conscious to it, but maintain that, but try to get rid of this thing that I don't want to have around it.
Yeah, it's so true. That's exactly how conditioned mind is. I saw it around the Tikkun at the beginning, that if I weren't living in an environment that promotes consciousness, and also if I didn't get help with it, then I would become someone who has a bad back.
Yeah.
And that would stay and get worse for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And I would end up having to give up all this stuff I love, that I love to do with my body, like, you know, getting exercise and things like that. And it would just, my physical life would get smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And that's what's going on all the time, or trying to go on all the time up here.
Yeah, exactly. Trying to get smaller and smaller and smaller everywhere until we're just down to this tiny little life where we can, not make a move.
It's amazing. I don't have a bad back.
Right.
I just slouch.
Exactly. I just don't, you know, use this muscle properly or move my body in a way that, you know, that, it's amazing.
So, I'm really gullible.
Gullible, yeah.
Very gullible. Mm. And it's, it can be expensive to be gullible. It can be expensive financially, it can be expensive emotionally. And what I realized in this conversation today, and yesterday I just had a conversation with someone and I realized that I had no idea this thing was going on that was going on. Hmm. And that it's, that, you know, I could chalk that up to gullibility or, and I feel stupid. And so what I realized is that there's always, after I realized that I've been taken on some level because of the gullibility. I didn't realize until sitting here that there's a lot of self-hate that comes through that I should be different, that I should know. And, you know, now, I mean, I told someone recently, I was a good one, and said, oh, you're like Rip Van Winkle. And I thought, well, that's true. It's like that. And I'm also, in some ways, like a little kid. So yesterday, there was like this, yesterday was like the triple threat of gullibility. And so I went to the movies last night with friends. We were going to see an animated movie. Mm-hmm. But my friend who planned the thing, he read the times wrong. So we get up to the movies and the guy at the movie theater says, you're not here for that movie. That movie started an hour ago. Mm-hmm. You'd have to stay for another hour and a half before that movie starts again. I was like, no, we can't. So we go to see this movie that for me is really scary. And I don't see scary movies because for me, The Wizard of Oz is still scary. But I realized as I was watching the movie when I was watching the movie, I thought I might die in discomfort. But I didn't die. Even though, like the last time I went to a scary movie was when I was in an ice show. That's how long ago it was, like 15 years ago. And I walked out of the movie, and this guy who was in the show said, I was like doing another show, because it was so intense. Mm. And that's how it felt for me, seeing the movie. It was so intense. But there's a way in which I think it's so intense for me, because I'm so global. Like, I believe every minute of the movie. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when it was over, and I could see the story that was going through, and I thought, well, there were little signs along the way of the movie that there was something else going on besides the story that I'm like gripped with, that I could die from discomfort.
Right.
And so I'm not like that about the other things yet in my life where I'm gullible, where I think, oh, I'm glad that happened. But what occurs to me in this conversation is maybe there would be a way for me to not have judgment or something about it.
Right, exactly. It takes me back to the conversation of kind of approval, of just that, so there's a part of you who has this relationship with things that go on in their life for whatever reason. And even that's all interesting, like who's calling her gullible and what does that even mean and, you know, what are all those things that make that up? But mostly it sounds like the relationship with it is one of self-hate, that she gets beaten for being that way.
Right. Sometimes I have to, like, spend time, a lot of time and a lot of money, like, handling things that I was culpable over. Mm-hmm. And then the whole time I'm doing that, there's all this judgment that I'm having to spend time doing. I mean, it's a brutal process.
And what better way to hold it in place than have, instead of kind of the coming to consciousness and seeing, maybe having some insight on what's going on, it sounds like there's a coming to consciousness, seeing it, and then straight out into being identified with judgment on that person, and, oh, geez, I can't believe it happened again, and now we have all this ha-ha-ha. But it sounds like the other possibility that you're seeing is, okay, got it, here it is again. It's completely fine. This is the thing that, for whatever reason, life is giving us to practice with.
Yeah.
You know, it goes back to that conversation we were having a little bit ago about when we step back and see it. I'm sure you've seen this with other things in your life, other content areas. We realize the gift that life was giving us in that. We can't see it at the time, but that kind of everything that's put in front of us from that larger perspective, there's something in it for us.
Mm-hmm. Right. I know that there is. Mm-hmm. It just... Yeah, it's just still, I find it to be a painful process.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the Christmas tree, maybe I should, you know, practice watching would be set. I don't like watching, so that's like a good
right.
practice.
Yeah, yeah, that occurred, yeah, because it's like watching the movie, the way you're describing it, you're completely identified with the movie. These are not actors on a screen, and some, you know, you could go up and touch the screen, it's one-dimensional, right? This is
right.
really happening.
Right.
I'm eating popcorn, and right?
Right.
It's all made up,
right.
They were on a set doing this.
Right.
Right. But watching the movie, there's 100% identification. As
there
if it's
is.
Real, and it's happening, and it's in your body. It's such a perfect practice opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, it reminds me, actually, of an interaction Sherry had on the radio show. Recently, where she talked to a woman who had this pattern of coming home and going unconscious and getting things to eat and watching movies and was saying, no, I'm not, you know, I really don't want to do that anymore. And Sherry was suggesting, well, why don't you just go ahead and do it? Set an alarm for every 15 minutes, stop and record. And that would be, I just had that same image, you know, so you're watching that scary movie and then every 15 minutes stand up and just record about it. Because it would so break that, you know,
right.
bring some consciousness into that.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's so go along with it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to, maybe it's not a bad thing.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I just haven't seen the good thing about it.
Yes.
Yet.
Susan. So I'll just ditto what everybody said and go into the next piece. So I had the same experience last night of rocking Sophie to sleep and being present to it and seeing how I didn't want to, but I do also have the voice that I never get to spend enough time with my kids. So I get like,
oh, wait,
God,
here we
sorry.
Are.
I have the experience of, oh, wait a minute. The thing that I have been, you know, the sensations in the body, it's, so I'm relatively practiced staying with, I don't like it, I doesn't like it or whatever, but breathing through and staying with anxiety and rage. I'm familiar with that energy, that kind of big waves of energy. What I'm not practiced with staying with is despair and depression. And I noticed that a sensation is new in my body that I truly believe conditioning is just throwing in there. It's really unrelated to content as far as I can see. Although we say sensation comes first anyway, but... So, and I can say to myself, like I did this morning before I came here, I mean, I can say to myself, really, well, we're going to go anyway. So it was, got into this conversation with my 7-year-old, and he got upset. And it was like 2 seconds before I have to leave. There's like no telling him. There's no nothing. You know, I gotta go. So there was a split second when it was like conditioning threw in despair and said, no, you don't have to go. This is a despairing situation. Somebody said something a minute ago. Maybe it was, I'm not sure who said it, but it was that thing of, ooh, I'm losing it.
well, where I go to, it was said earlier, was that there's an insight that's internal, mm-hmm. but I leave that mm-hmm. to take care of the externals. Uh-huh. So what other people suggested was what I would relate to. In my mm-hmm. house, it would be my kids. So, mm-hmm. boom, that happens. Mm-hmm. Don't trust the internal. Mm-hmm. Trust conditioned mind's response and sensation mm-hmm. it's throwing into my body first. Mm-hmm. And don't do what I know will disidentify me and I'll come back
right.
more present and capable right. to be with whatever is going on up there.
Right.
But it was like this, it almost got me.
Yeah.
It almost got me.
Yeah. But it didn't.
It didn't. It didn't get me. Although I noticed that it has gotten me some lately, just my yeah. energy. It's yeah. like what do they call it? The hungry ghost. You know, it's yeah. like it just leeches
yeah.
the energy.
Yeah. And it seems yeah. really quite significant to acknowledge that it didn't get you. Because mm-hmm. I think we were talking about this recently in group that, you know, all day long, most things are going just fine. You know, I mean, we're seeing tons, having all kinds of insights, just triumphing over conditioning left and right. But if it can get us focused on the times where, you know, we do respond to the sensation, or we do believe it, or we do, that's all it takes to keep us in that relationship, right? So what you're seeing, it sounds like, is your practice with these certain sensations and these certain meanings, and you're pretty, you know, pretty adept at just breathing through those. And then there are these others that feel kind of new and that you're setting out.
Just one second, because yeah. I saw something. What I'm adept at is I know that they're a lie.
Yes.
I don't know that I'm super practiced with staying with them. I'm pretty practiced, but I know it's a lie. Yeah. With these new ones.
Yeah. It can get you.
It can get me. Like not even in theory do I know it's a lie.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
I'm like, oh, you know, before I know it, I can relate. You know, it's like the movie. You know, and it's a horror story inside. That's right. The same thing.
Yeah.
You know, before I know it, there I am.
Yeah. Well, and it's even got that. Yeah, but this isn't a movie. This is a real child.
With
a real, right? Yeah.
With real emotions that you've just,
destroyed
as you walked out the door and then abandoned him, for God's sake.
Yeah. Which is where it would want to go. Instead of acknowledging, wow, that was huge, because here's this thing that's new for me to practice with, these certain sets of sensations and meanings and seeing through that, and I did it. Wow. Mm-hmm. Because in that, it's like we're building that possibility. We're reinforcing that possibility.
Yeah.
Do you know?
I do. Yeah. I, for something, you know, I don't know if this ever happens again, but I just got identified and I have no idea with what.
Yeah.
I can just feel it.
Yeah.
It tried to throw something in there, slipped past my awareness.
Yeah.
A little stuck in my body. Well, I know what it, no, it's not true. I know it, it threw up a scene and told me I did something bad. Mm. That same scene, you know, within the same scene.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's your next chance to practice taking a shot again.
Uh-huh.
Do you know?
Well, it was really helpful when people were talking, because the freedom that, for me, the comfort that is described when we're not within our own identity is, free. For me, it's freedom.
Yeah.
It's wow.
Yeah.
You know, it's freedom. I'm not believing anything. I'm just breathing and walking forward and trusting life.
Yes.
Including the internal stuff, that I'm going to be that way with it. I'm going to be free. I'm going to be gentle. You know, my word is gentleness. And I'm going to get duped, because that's why I'm a human being.
Yes.
So it happens to human beings.
Exactly. And how's the identification right now?
I got this
identification. See? Did it again!
Well, you know, we all say it's like the weather, but I remember, you know, somebody saying it, and for whatever reason it stuck this time.
Yeah.
It's a real encouragement to me, because it's the one thing, even with this new piece of unfamiliar practicing with conditioning, that I can actually believe. I do believe it's going to pass. And I believe for David, you know, my 8-year-old, the 7-year-old, it's going to be 8. I believe it'll pass. You know, I'm going to get up there, and he's going to be playing his games.
Yeah.
It always passes.
Yeah. It always passes.
For me and for them.
Yeah, and to every time it does, to acknowledge that for ourselves.
Yeah.
So it just happened again.
Yeah, that's quick.
It was very quick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you know, it can take lifetimes or days.
Yeah.
Or
yeah. But to, you know, it's like back to the celebration. You know, that little, make the shot. Make the shot.
Yeah.
Way to go.
Yeah, yeah.
And that same attitude, back to what we were looking at with Amy a little earlier, that same celebration can be brought to the other side too. Ooh, I usually make that shot. I'm going to take it again. I'm going to take it, right? So it's either way.
Right, whether we make it or not.
It's not a contest. Mm-hmm. It's a game. It's fun. It's a project. It's a...
Well, and it's how we met, well, it's how I mentor my kids.
Yes.
Wow, right on. I mean, God, you are so strong.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, that's what naturally...
That was close to the net that time.
That is such a good point. That's what naturally comes out of us.
For little people.
When we, when we're working with little people, you know, just wild enthusiasm.
Totally.
You know, like there's a room full of adults with a little kid who's learning to walk, and you'd think it was like the Olympics. Hey, way to go! And just that same...
They're up!
Yeah. Oh, down he goes.
Right.